Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, October 11th, 2021. As I said last week when I began this very special series, October is Rahane Jabari month, remembering Rahane, a young, beautiful, passionate 26-year-old Iranian woman that was unjustly murdered or executed on October 25th, 2014. Her case drew international as well as national acclaim, and I wrote a book dedicated to her life and to the injustices that were done to her by the Iranian regime. The name of the book is Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. And all this month, I'm reading specific selections from this book to continue to be Rahane's voice. Rahane was a woman who was attacked by a former intelligence agent. She was lured into a building under false pretenses. And when this man tried to rape her, she did what any normal girl would do in a rape situation. She defended herself. She struggled to stay alive. She picked a knife up from a table and stabbed her assailant. As a result, he died. And because he was a former agent, an intelligence agent for the intelligence ministry of the Iranian government, her fate was sealed. When she was arrested, they did everything they could to change her mind. Say he didn't rape you, Rahane. Just say it wasn't rape. And she refused to lie just to save her life. And on October 25th, 2014, she was executed by hanging. I've dedicated this month to Rahane because she is a symbol of all Iranian women. There are thousands of other Rahanes in Iran that are in prison suffering under much the same circumstances. The only difference is their voices have not been heard. Their stories have not been published. And I hope and pray I can have the opportunity to write about them all. This morning, I want to go to chapter 3 of my book. And I'm reading specific selections, and I want to tell you why I'm reading this specific selection from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. For those of you that may be just for the first time discovering this ministry, this radio program, and are for the first time trying to understand why a woman in Iran would be executed when she's the victim of a rape attack. You don't understand that. You struggle with that. Now, for most of us, we know the reason, but I'm reading this book with you in mind. This chapter, I want you to understand the context of what is happening in Iran at the time that Rouhani was growing up. She grew up in a culture that was hostile to women. And I want you to understand the background so you can comprehend how this victim was executed for defending herself against a rape attack. I'm reading from Chapter 3, The Gathering Storm. In the fall of 2005, Rouhani turned 18 and was accepted as a student at Basir University to begin studying computer software. 2005 was also the year that a fiery, outspoken man named Mahmoud Ahmadinejad became the next president of Iran. The former mayor of Tehran unanimously won the election on August 3rd and almost immediately began an assault on the house church movement. In a public speech, he lashed out against Muslims who had left their religion to convert to Christianity and vowed with vengeance, quote, "I will stop Christianity in this country," end quote. The government began rounding up and arresting Christian converts, putting them in detention centers where they were interrogated and tortured to renounce their faith and return to Islam. The penalty for changing one's religion soon became death by hanging. Besides cracking down on the house church movement, Ahmadinejad began preaching the return of the Mahdi. According to the Shiite religion in Iran, the 12th Imam, who was a young child, disappeared in 941 AD and was expected to return at the end of time along with Jesus and reign on the earth for 7 years, bringing judgment by converting the world to Islam. The preparing for the return of the Mahdi was Ahmadinejad's main mission as the new president. He urged Iranians to rid their lives of corruption and satanic influence from Western culture and prepare their hearts for the Mahdi's soon return. Since the revolution, the Baha'i faith had also been assaulted by the new regime. Baha'is were considered a cult and a godless influence on the Shiite religion. They were banned from studying in universities and arrested and eventually executed. The government also began the persecution and discrimination of Jews, who before the revolution were prominent members of society, warmly welcomed by other Muslims. Ahmadinejad also saw as his mission as president to publicly denounce the state of Israel, calling the Holocaust a myth. In one of his most controversial speeches, he declared that, quote, "Israel will be wiped off the face of the map. The Zionist regime will be purged the same way the Soviet Union was, and humanity will achieve freedom," close quote. Persecution of Christians, discrimination against Baha'is, and threats against Israel was the mood and climate that Rouhani was growing up in. Iran was becoming more hostile and violent, especially against women. Just 1 year before Ahmadinejad became president, the execution of a 16-year-old Iranian girl made international headlines around the world, revealing just how the Iranian regime treated the victims of rape. Atifi Sahavi grew up in Necca, Iran. From the very beginning, her life was filled with tragedy. When she was just 5 years old, her mother died in a car accident, and then shortly after that, her younger brother drowned in the river. Only her father remained, and trying to cope with the pain, he resorted to drugs and soon became an addict. This forced Atefi to become the caregiver for her elderly grandparents. At the tender age of 16, tragedy once again invaded the Sahali family when Atefi became the rape victim of a 51-year-old man, Ali Darabi, an ex-member of Iran's Revolutionary Guard and the father of three children, was accused of sexually violating young Atefi. However, instead of a court exonerating Atefi as a rape victim, She was arrested and convicted under Sharia law for crimes against chastity. In the Muslim world, Sharia law is the final court of arbitration in all circumstances of everyday life. According to Sharia law, in order to prove a legitimate case of rape, there must be at least 4 eyewitnesses. Because the requirement for proof of rape is, well, so difficult, really impossible, judges have no choice but to punish the victims. The act of rape has to be proved, and if it is not, then the victim is accused of fornication. This verdict is devastating for a Muslim woman. The psychological ramifications are too difficult for her to bear. The woman is shamed to death. She becomes a social outcast, unsuitable for marriage, bringing dishonor on the family, and in most cultures, becomes the victim of a violent honor killing. In Iran, the punishment for sex outside of marriage is stoning for the married adulteress and flogging and exiled for the unmarried. Under torture, Atafi admitted to having sex with Ali, but explained that she had been raped and beaten for more than 3 years. Realizing that she was losing the case in court, Atafi removed her hijab and argued that Ali should be punished instead of her. Then in a rage, she took off her shoe and hurled it at the judge's face. Immediately, the judge responded by ordering her to be executed. When it came time for her execution, Judge Haji Rezai applied the noose to her neck and hanged Atafi himself. Atafi had no hope of convincing the Iranian court that she had been abused and raped. The reputation of a former member of the Revolutionary Guard was at stake. His version of the crime would certainly be accepted and believed more than Atafi's. As a woman, Atafi had no hope of winning. The Islamic worldview was too much of a challenge for her to prevail against. In the Hadith, Volume 1, Book 6, Number 301, Muhammad is quoted as saying about women, quote, "I have not seen anyone more deficient in the intelligence and religion than you. A cautious, sensible man could be led astray by some of you. Is not the evidence of two women equal to the witness of one man?" This hadith clearly undermines the worth, value, and witness of a woman, reducing her testimony and intelligence far below that of a man's. Thus, Atafi suffered under a system that discriminates against women, resulting in her life being taken by a culture where men are considered superior in every way. The execution of Atafi as a young juvenile under the age of 18 caused an international outrage from human rights groups and also the United Nations. Iran had clearly violated their commitment as a signatory nation to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights to not execute juveniles under the age of 18. Less than 1 year later, another similar case brought international outrage as a young 17-year-old teenage girl was sentenced to death when she defended herself against a gang of young men trying to rape her and her niece. The incident took place in the city of Karaj, Iran. Nazanin Fatihi and her niece were approached by 3 young men. When one of them tried to sexually assault her, Nazanin defended herself by stabbing him to death with a knife. The news of Nazanin's desperate situation of being on death row reached another Nazanin, thousands of miles away in Canada. Nazanin Afshin Jam responded to an email asking her for help to be a voice of hope and freedom for the young 17-year-old girl. Nazanin was a well-known person throughout the world. She was a former Miss World Canada, president of Stop Child Execution, and a dedicated human rights activist for Iranians. She was just a two-year-old girl when she fled Iran with her family in 1981, shortly after the revolution. They escaped into Canada, leaving behind her family and friends who were now prisoners of the new Iranian regime that had forced the Shah into exile. Nazanin wasted no time in organizing a worldwide campaign to bring attention to Nazanin Fatihi's case. She created a website to raise money for her bail, and after 2 years in jail, Nazanin was released on January 3rd, 2007, miraculously exonerated of all charges against her. A major victory had been won against an evil regime that punished the victims of rape. Nazanin Fatihi was now a free woman because another Nazanin, thousands of miles away across the world, had decided to be her voice of hope. On August 25th, 2007, Nazanin Afshin Jam received a Hero Award for Human Rights, and that was addressed by the United Nations for her tireless efforts in freeing another Nazanin, death row in Iran. 7 years would pass before Nazanin would once again become a voice for another Iranian woman who would need another miracle in order to stay alive. This woman is an amazing woman. She's Iranian-Canadian, and she was a voice for this Nazanin that escaped the death penalty. It was really clearly a miracle. And she was also very much responsible for the campaign to save Rahane Jabari from execution. Unfortunately, that did not happen as all of us had prayed for and hoped for. But I just wanted to mention to you her hard work in defending Rahane up until the last day. After her execution, she published a statement about the case that is in my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. I want to read it to you from Nazanin Afshin Jam. I am absolutely devastated. Despite over 200,000 signatures on our petition and international pressure from leading countries, media coverage, and most importantly, massive pressure from inside Iran, I am sad to report that Rahane Jabari was executed hours ago. Why? She stabbed a man in self-defense that plotted to rape her. The Sorbandi family and the Iranian regime now have more blood on their hands. The Sorbandi family admitted that there was not enough evidence and investigation from the incident, and yet they asked for the execution to take place anyway. The Iranian regime has wiped its hands clean from responsibility, claiming it was just a matter between families. Facts, number one. Morteza Sorbandi was a stranger to Rahane. He overheard her speaking on the phone and learned that she was an interior designer. He solicited her to help with renovations in his home. The day she went to inspect Sorbandi's home, he brought condoms and put sedative drugs in her drink. He attempted to rape her. She stabbed him and fled the scene. There was another man connected to Sorbandi that was present in the building while the incident took place and shortly after the stabbing, but he was not incorporated in the investigation. Question, what motive does a healthy, sane, 19-year-old interior designer have to kill a man that was a complete stranger to her? Why was she not given a proper trial? Is the fact that Morteza Sorbandi used to be part of Iran's intelligence ministry have anything to do with the rush to execute her? I hope one day Rahane's mother, Sholeh Parkravan, gets some answers. From now on, I only wish to give her my heartfelt condolences. Nothing on this planet is more painful than losing a child in such a horrific way. May you rest in peace, dear Rahane. May you find solace, dear Sholeh. I pray to God that this regime falls and a free democratic Iran prevails where the rule of law exists and a new constitution based on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is enacted. Rouhani's execution once again proves that this regime is not reformable. Down with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Nazanin Afshin Jam, a true human rights hero. I've tried to explain this morning on the Cross in the Desert the climate and the context and the reasons behind why Rouhani's testimony in court was never accepted or believed. Just as it says in the Quran and the Hadith, a woman's testimony is only worth half that of a man's. Inferiority, discrimination, the case of Atifi, just 7 years before her execution, she too was a rape victim, and yet she was executed for being a victim because they didn't believe her story. And I could go on and on and on, but I think you understand. This is why this month I have dedicated my broadcast to remembering Rouhani, because believe me, there are a multitude of other rape victims in Iran, and most of them will probably be executed. Some of them will never see the light of day. We must never forget Rouhani Jabari, and she is a beautiful fragrance, the way that she lived her life in that dirty prison. This is a very special song from an artist named Carol Mack. It's a song called Beautiful, dedicated to Rouhani this morning. An amazingly beautiful song by Carol Mack, dedicated to Rouhani. Beautiful. One of the features of my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, is a section throughout the book where people that knew about Rahane's case could speak about her. And it's called Reflections on Rahane. One of them was written by my Iranian-American friend and Texan. Her name is Atiya. She writes, "Dearest Rahane, your name defines your strong will and how you lived a life. Rahane means beautiful fragrance. September 2013 was the first time that I saw your innocent face in one of my Facebook posts. Your strength combined with honesty exemplified the character of one of the most inspiring women in this world. Your angelic soft voice, your honesty, and uplifting spirit of hope lit up the courtroom any time that you walked through that door. Dearest Sholi, although there isn't a specific word for a parent who has lost their child, we will weep with you, stand with you, and somehow give you encouragement to cope with the pain, the anger, and the sense of loss. I know the pain will never cease, but I can feel that your heart is filled with the memories of Rahane's kindness, honesty, love, and dedication. May her strength be an example to all. She touched the world with her existence and unjust death. Gone too soon, but she will never be forgotten." And that's from my friend Atiya. She's an Iranian-American that lives in Texas. If you want to know more about Rahane's life and how she endured the persecution and the torture and then the eventual unjust execution, you can read all about her in my book entitled Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It's posted on my Facebook page. You can go to Amazon.com. It's available in both paperback and Kindle. When you purchase this book, you are becoming a voice for Rahane and all Iranian women. And we must never forget that just because we see images on the internet, things are not what they appear to be. In Iran, this is how women are generally treated. And it's not something that is difficult to understand when you understand the climate in the background of how a woman is under siege on a daily basis living in Iran. I've written extensively on this subject. And this month we are remembering Rahane. We're remembering her beauty. We're remembering her principles, her dedication to the truth, and her unwavering commitment to not lie and change a story so that a man's reputation could be exonerated. I hope that you will join me the rest of this month as we remember Rahane. And if you want to know more about her life, visit my Facebook page, get my book up on Amazon, and learn all about this beautiful fragrance that lived for a short time and was executed just 10 days before her 27th birthday. Have a great week. I will see you again on Thursday on The Cross in the Desert.